Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Star.
Hit it, Joseph. You can do it.
You too.
All right. Ringo Starr, right?
Greg's not in the room, so you
yeah.
can sing.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
I don't have the lyrics.
Oh, now who's going to sing
big
this?
Big star.
Bum, bum. I'll do the bum, bum.
Yeah.
Start
so well.
Boom, 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 boom. And this is Live 1480 at the Big Show. Okay, this is Phoenix, Arizona, 1480 KPHX.
C.
KPHX. I said that right. Anyway, I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, somewhere in the building, Eric Reiner.
All I gotta do is act naturally by the Beatles.
And the lovely Trisha in the studio. So, yeah, we love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah. Beatles, of course.
And we love the special today, Phoenix
yes.
Film Festival.
It is the Phoenix Film Festival. We already talked about one of my top four favorite films playing at this film this year's Phoenix Film Festival. I picked my four favorites are of the in-competition films, the cream of the in-competition crop. And right now we have on our next guest on behalf of one of my other favorite films from the Phoenix Film Festival. I've saw all 10. I am the one of the five judges. And right now we have on writer-director Julie Jackson on behalf of 45 RPM. How are you, Julie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much. So you wrote and directed this film. Let me tell our listeners a brief synopsis about it as the Phoenix Film Festival is promoting it. Liza Burns plays an artist who's struggling with the source of her inspiration, finds help from an obsessive record collector played by Jason Thompson in the search for her deceased father's lost music. It's screening 7:25 p.m. Friday, April 4th, 12:55 p.m. Saturday, April 5th, and 11:55 a.m. Sunday, April 6th. Any other general thoughts about the synopsis? Anything that you want to start us off with?
Sure. I like to start off by saying that this is a film that is really driven by music and is really for people that love music and love to be immersed in like that awesome feeling of like going on a summer road trip. One of the things I love the most about the film is that we kind of crammed in as much music into the soundtrack as we could. The film features over 41 tracks of what we call garage rock, or kind of like a mix of modern and vintage garage rock. So it's really kind of got something for everybody. But yeah, that's definitely what audiences have been really responding to, is all the awesome music that drives the film.
Yeah, and the music is amazing, and you know, one of your songs that you play during the trailer is just great. I couldn't find a lot of the music online, so it's amazing how you found some of these songs.
I know. That is why the tagline for the film is a long road to lost music. My goal for putting in so much awesome music that you can't find online very easily is bringing some little bit of notoriety to these artists that are kind of lost. Either they recorded songs in the 60s and 70s, and maybe they were big at the time, but then nobody, you know, loved it enough to get it on MP3, and so now it's lost on a record somewhere. So a lot of our soundtrack is tracks taken directly from old 45s and acetates and stuff that really didn't make it big time but is incredible to listen to. So hopefully we are working on putting out a soundtrack, and that's one of our most requested items is the soundtrack to the film. So if you enjoy the music of the film, and I know you will, we're actually doing a little giveaway during the Q&As at all three screenings. So if you're in attendance at the screening, you'll have a chance to get your hands on the music firsthand.
Oh, that's very exciting. Again, the music is amazing. And I'm curious, from a financial standpoint, when the music is hard to find like that, was it hard to get the rights, especially put out a soundtrack? Was that expensive?
Financially, it wasn't expensive because we're a very small budgeted film, and so we didn't have any money. So basically, we sought out music that we really liked and approached the musicians and the labels individually on like a one-by-one basis. So, and again, I think this is true for all indie filmmaking. It's like you make the decision between money or time. And so we just expended a huge amount of time seeking out this music and like, you know, just meeting the people and asking if we could use their work and help and, you know, use it, you know, to promote them and have them as part of the project. And so everybody that came on board donated their art to us to use in the film. So that was a huge accomplishment on part of my music supervision team. And so getting the rights was a big, because 41 tracks you're dealing with, all of the musicians have to sign off on it. All the label, if they're on a label, the label has to sign off on it. So it just goes on and on. But we made it happen, and we're doing our best to promote the music as well as, you know, the film that, you know, tells the story of the film as well. So.
Sounds like a true labor of love.
Oh, definitely.
And, Julie, I saw the movie as well. And, you know, not just the songs made this movie, but I thought it was intriguing. It was fun. It was lighthearted. You were in I was in a curiosity state throughout the movie, wondering, you know, how this was going to turn out. But also, congratulations to you, because I thought this is one of the better acting performances by a great, probably upcoming star, Lisa Byrne. She was fantastic in this movie.
I know. I was so incredibly lucky to find her and to get to work with her. She's just a joy to work with. And she plays the character of Charlie Clark, the lead in the film. And she just does, well, I guess what made it easy is that she is that character. Like, her mannerisms, like, even the way she dressed, like, that's all who, like Liza is. And so it was really easy to kind of pull her into that character and give her, you know, some goals and things to work towards to create her character arc. And she just ran with it. And I do think she gives a stunning performance. She's fun to watch, you know. And I know lots of people have really commented on the chemistry between Liza's character of Charlie and the other lead, played by Jason Thompson. He plays Louis Traxler, the obsessive record collector that kind of helps Charlie search for this record. And they really have some great moments together on screen.
They certainly do. And, you know, we're honored to have you. Again, we're speaking with the writer-director of 45 RPM. Her name is Julie Jackson. We're honored to have you on the show, Julie. We were really wishing we could get Liza or Jason on the show. But who will be out at the Phoenix Film Festival? Who will folks be able to meet, including us?
That will be me. I will be traveling out to the Phoenix Film Festival, so I will definitely be around to answer questions. Actually, strangely enough, some of Liza's family lives in Phoenix. So if any of you guys are listening... Definitely make sure and get it out, and I'm going to try and contact them personally and see if I can't get them to the screening to see her on the big screen as well. So,
yeah, Julie, you know what I also like to give you some more compliments on this great film is animation, and I know you were also the animation director. I saw it in the credits, and talk a little bit about that because it was well placed. I thought it was just brilliant how you used animation in this film.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I did direct the animation and do a lot of the animating along with my artist, Mandy Maxwell. But basically, the character of Charlie Clark is an artist, and so we use animation basically to give you a little bit of insight into how she's thinking, because she's not real vocal about her emotions, and so the animation kind of acts as a little glimpse into the way she might see the world. And so there's a lot of not typical animation, not the kind of stuff you see a lot of today, which is like old school, like paint on glass and paint cell by cell like animation. So we used a lot of like watercolor and a lot of like paint to actually animate these transitions that help move the film along and kind of give you a little touch into Charlie's artistic side.
Now, at the end of the film, in the credits, I believe it said in memory of, I think it's Gerline Jackson. Who is that?
Gerline Jackson. That is my grandmother. She was just a big influence in my life, and she unfortunately passed away during while we were actually in production for the film. But she was just she inspired me in a lot of ways, and was just a big influence on my life in making. She was the person that encouraged me to go to college, and I studied filmmaking, and so I have a lot of gratitude to give to her. So I had to do it in her memory.
That's wonderful, wonderful. And tell us about your festival experience thus far. Have you been to many other festivals, and have you picked up any awards yet?
We have. We premiered actually last year at the Little Rock Film Festival, and that's my home state. So we did a home state premiere. And we picked up, it was made in Arkansas Best Feature, and Liza got Best Actress at Little Rock. We've won several awards over different festivals we've been to. And most recently, we were in Austin at the RXFM Film Expo, and that's in Austin. And they awarded us Best Soundtrack, which was really cool. We were at the Philadelphia Film and Animation Festival. They awarded us Best Feature. So we've definitely picked up some awesome awards and gotten some recognition for all the hard work that our team has put into making this film.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you know, one of the questions that we love to ask all of our guests on behalf of films is what do you hope that audiences take away from watching 45 RPM? Any general meanings or messages, themes, ideas, feelings that you want folks when they go out to the Phoenix Film Festival to experience after seeing 45 RPM?
Right. I think there's a line that Louis says that to me kind of sums up, you know, what the takeaway for the movie is. And it's real simple. It's literally that if you are trying to find something that nobody else cares about, the moment you really stop looking for that thing is when it disappears. So it's kind of the idea that, like, if you believe the thing that will help you is out there in the world, you will find it. Just, like, don't give up looking for it, even if it's a record or something bigger.
You know, Julie, that's funny that you said that because, maybe not because you wrote it and directed this, but that's exactly the line I wrote here. The moment, and I looked at it, so I had it exact. The moment that you stop believing that it is out there is the moment it disappears completely. I thought that was a very profound line, and it applies to so much in life and anything you do.
I'm so glad you took that away because that was kind of the big push for me and something that, you know, inspired me to write the film in the first place, but also, you know, give both Charlie and Louis that goal of not giving up in your search, even if no one cares about what you're going for.
Yeah, and so tell us what else have you done? Any other films that people can check out of yours? And are you going to do anything else next?
Well, I am working on writing another feature film, and my artist and I are actually Mandy Maxwell, the artist that did all the branding for 45 and helped me with the animation. She and I are actually working on hoping to work on an animated short this coming year. This is actually my very first feature film.
You wouldn't guess it.
Yeah, well, thank you. But strangely enough, my background for such a long time was camera work, so a lot of the films that I've worked on, I've contributed camera work to, but I didn't necessarily write and direct. I do have, there's a feature documentary film out on the festival circuit that right now called Circle the Wagon that I contributed camera work to, and I just love it. It's a fantastic feature documentary that went to the Austin Film Festival, and it's about Volkswagen and Volkswagen culture, and if you're interested in Volkswagen, definitely check that one out. But like I said, this is my first feature film, so maybe just add us on Facebook or keep up with us on our website, and you'll see what's coming next for me.
Terrific, and I'm gonna overstep my bounds here with Dave for a second. He's got kind of a crush on Liza, I know. So is she attached?
You know what? I'm not sure right now. I have to ask her.
Well, that's okay, because he is. Just reminding him in case he forgot.
I've been overruled. She is fantastic. I mean, really, as an actress. I think Joseph's kidding. Maybe not.
Oh.
All right, I'm not
kidding.
I was
asking through Dave for those of us who aren't.
All right, he's my manager. What can I say? She is just fabulous, though. I mean, what a personality, and just amazing. Yeah, is she? Do you know what she's doing? Is she going to be doing a lot of other films coming up?
She's done lots of short films. She's done some theater in Los Angeles. I think she's from Eugene, Oregon originally, but you know what? She's also a really talented artist in her own right. Imagine that. And when I casted her, I didn't actually know she did art, but she's incredible. Illustrator and artist. So I believe her website is Liza Manna Burns, and there's a link to it on the 45 RPM website as well. But just go check out her artwork; it's incredible. So.
Dave's writing it down right now.
And what's her phone number? No, just kidding.
No,
just teasing.
Liza, I'm sorry.
just kidding. There, my wife is sitting right in front of me.
Well, it is a great film, great acting, spectacular music, and a great job from writer director Julie Jackson. Again, it's called 45 RPM. It's screening at the Phoenix Film Festival next weekend, 7:25 p.m. Friday, April 4th, 12:55 p.m. Saturday, April 5th, and 11:55 a.m. Sunday, April 6th. Check it out. Definitely one of my four favorite films at the Phoenix Film Festival, and we are just so honored to have on Julie Jackson. Thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for choosing as one of your favorite films out of the festival. That's very exciting.
Yes, and best of luck there, and in your other adventures, and we will definitely see you at the Phoenix Film Festival. We'll see, seek you out.
All right, looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Wow. Thank you. So, thank you, Joseph.
Again, I was asking through you.
I know.
For Greg and myself.
Yeah.
Just for you.
Oh, that's
just
right.
For me?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
I think that's mostly because Joseph knows he's within striking distance of me. So.
That's a good one.
All right.
It was a very good film.
Yes, it was a very good film. And so we've got more from the Phoenix Film Festival today, but right now we're going to play Movie Star by Harpo.
Harpo Marx?
Is it? Just Harpo. Just Harpo.
Doesn't sound like a harp to me. It sounds like a guitar.
Harp. Oh.
Oh. Cigar. Like spaghetti.
So bizarre.
O's or cherry O's. Or okay.
Oh. James Dean.
Who? James Dean?
That's the lyrics.
Never heard of this song.
Movie Star.
Oh, no wonder.
It's actually pretty catchy.
Oh, it is good. And we are Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back. You think you are a movie star.
Thank you.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Everybody's a dreamer, and everybody's a star, and everybody's in movies. Doesn't matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house.
Now, Joseph, that sounds like a lovely ballad. I don't know what it is. Describe it.
You don't know that song?
What is that?
It's the Kinks, Celluloid Heroes.
Never heard of it. Cellulite?
Celluloid.
Oh, I thought you said cellulite.
Film is made of celluloid.
Oh, it's a film movies thing.
Now it's made of computer bits.
Oh, computer bits, like little chunks of Reese's Pieces.
Kinda, just like that.
Oh, it takes away the romanticism of the song.
Oh, yeah. I've ruined it now.
Well, that too.
We are live, 1480 AM, KPHX. This is Breakthrough Entertainment, special edition today, Phoenix Film Festival. I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo in the studio, Greg Isaac, Aaron Reinert, and the lovely Trisha. Refreshing.
Boulevard.
Zima.
There we go now.
A little Zima commercial.
Boom,
yeah. Phenomenal.
Boom, yes. Boom, 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 boom.
We can't get Eric to sing this one since it's
his favorite?
Come on,
Eric. You're a singer.
Yeah, my voice is a little rusty in the morning.
It is?
Eric and myself have agreed we'll stay out of the singing.
I'm a night
right?
singer.
Actually, he's a night singer.
We're actually going to hear from Eric next hour.
Uh-oh. I'm a shower singer.
Yeah, I'm not singing in a song.
Well,
who's the jazz
it's a surprise.
Singer?
Don't say anything, but yeah, we got a surprise from Eric.
I knew an Alvin singer.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, and back to Joseph.
Right. Yes, we are playing all songs about movies today. Yes, normally we play them about movies. Or from movies. See, I'm messing up.
I've got you all confused.
Yes.
You know, I think he was checking out that website during the break, and it's just got him all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got to check that out right now.
Combobulated.
You're not allowed to check it out.
Here we go now.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, we're talking all about the Phoenix Film Festival today. It's next weekend at the Harkins Scottsdale 101. But we've got some other exciting things, including some other movies that are out. One of them is Locker 13, and we had on the producer of this film a couple months ago during he was actually in studio with us or at one of our remote locations, right?
That's right. It was North Mountain Brewing Company.
Yeah, and our listeners had a chance to meet him in person and see him talk about Locker 13 before, you know, this was a few months ago. This was still one that was in post-production or whatever. And let me tell you a little bit about it. Jason Spezak plays the nighttime janitor in an Old West theme park. It was actually over in Fountain Hills. That's where it was filmed. Who delves into the mysteries surrounding an old locker with the number 13 on it. His sage supervisor recounts chilling tales that underscore the importance of making the right choice, a theme that comes into play when he makes an unsettling discovery and faces a life or death decision of his own. So this is kind of an anthology film, if you remember when we spoke with John, right?
That's right. It was a very, very nice interview.
Yeah, it was a great interview. He's a great guy, and we tried to have him on last week, but unfortunately he was not able to join us. But you can check out the our interview with him. It's on breakradioshow.com. It's in the archives as well. I think I have a brief write-up about it as well.
Not to change the subject, but real quick, I want to ask you, as a film columnist, not a critic.
Okay.
I noticed that the Hurt Locker, since you're talking about Locker, has been released again. What's up with that?
In the theater?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Harkins does some weird things where they're replaying certain movies. I think that they there's another movie that's coming out in a couple weeks that's kind of older.
Reissues?
Yeah, reissues. I don't know exactly why.
Huh. I think it's because somebody high up, it's their favorite movie, and they want to have private screenings on the big screen because some movies just aren't the same at home.
Yeah. True. And The Hurt Locker is a good movie.
Very good movie.
Yeah, yeah. And so Locker 13, well, let's find out if that's a good movie. Unfortunately, no. I did not care for it. Personally, I did not. I want to support local filmmaking, but unfortunately, I just, you know, there's a lot of talent that went into Locker 13, before both behind the camera and in front of it. But it's a thriller anthology. They kind of want to make it a franchise. If you recall, he said maybe they want to do a TV show or other movies like this. It worked a bit. I would think that it worked a bit better on the page than it does on the screen. The stories are interesting and leave you with a lot to think about, but they're very, very static. Each of these stories is like one single location. And unfortunately, even for the brief time that they're on the screen, again, there's like five different stories throughout the course of this film. Even, you know, say 15, 20 minutes a piece, I lost interest like halfway through each one of them because they're very static. They're one place. There's, you know, very slim story to them. They don't lend themselves very easily to the visual medium. I will say that the most static story of all, interestingly enough, it's one where a would-be suicide is shaken to his core by a menacing member of a very special club. It's the best of the bunch. I actually really loved one of these shorts during this Locker 13, during the anthology. There's one short, again, it's all about like suicide. One guy, will he or won't he jump? And this other guy, you know, he's trying to convince him to jump. And, you know, will he or won't he? It's definitely the best of the bunch. Had they all been that quality, this could have been a breakthrough. Not just a thumbs up, it could have been a breakthrough. I love that short. So again, there's a lot of talent here. It's got a lot of potential. This property has plenty of potential. So I hope that John Waldron keeps with it, maybe gets it, you know, a little stronger next time. But unfortunately, this time around, Locker 13, I am giving it a thumbs down.
Well,
yeah,
that happens.
Yes, that happens, unfortunately. Nope. But we'll go on to the next film. Let's talk a little bit about Sheeran in Love. We also talked with someone on behalf of this film, one of our favorite friends, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How We Met Our Mother?
Yes, the best cab driver in New York.
You have the same mother?
No, the best cab driver in New York.
Well, actually, Joseph.
Ranjit.
I found out we actually do.
Okay. Oh, Ranjit, he was outstanding.
And by the way,
hilarious.
Yeah, speaking of How I Met Your Mother, it's ending...
That's right.
After this weekend.
I have to catch up. See, I'm behind. I'm not, you know.
4 years.
I like the show probably as much as you do. I just, in the mid-season somewhere. But sometimes, like on FX or whatever it is, they'll have reruns of probably more recent seasons. So I've seen some stuff out of order.
Well, I didn't see, obviously, the finale. It's a one-hour finale on Monday night. But I didn't see last weekend's. I have it recorded. I have not watched that yet.
How is that possible, Joseph?
I don't know. Just because all the film festival
You've been
stuff.
Busy.
I've been busy with the film festival stuff.
But phenomenal self-restraint.
Yes. We'll give you a pass on
that. And especially because 2 weeks ago's episode, the fourth to final episode, I cried at the end. It was such a touching finale. We got to see Ted's first date with
the mom.
With the mother.
Yeah, with the mom.
And
the
that
mom.
Was a touching scene?
It was a very touching scene.
Oh, you mean it was X-rated, touching scene?
No.
Now it's Ted Mosby. Scene. If it was Barney, it would be a some action.
Yeah, Barney would be a touching scene. But
So touching and moving were happening.
Right. But this scene at the end of this episode a couple
some
weeks ago.
Came out.
Yeah, it was just amazing. I wish that I would get to experience a first date like this one that Ted experiences on How I Met Your Mother.
I predict you will.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I don't know. This is like far and above. You know.
Let me see the palm of your hand.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about.
No, I'm a palmistry. Is that how they call it?
Palmistry
or whatever.
Tapestry. Sharon in love. let's get back onto that. Sorry. Sharon in love. Nazanin Boniadi, again, who plays, she's on How I Met Your Mother as well. She plays a young Iranian-American who, despite being engaged for years to a successful Iranian plastic surgeon, played by Maz Jobrani, finds herself breaking loyalty and tradition when she falls in love with a mysterious young man, played by Riley Smith. As her secret unravels and cultures clash, she discovers what it ultimately means to be true to herself. So we had on Marshall Manesh. We didn't say his real name. Ranjit from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
He plays the father in Sharon in Love. His real name, the actor's name is Marshall Manesh. Very, very talented actor.
Yes.
Does a great job in this thumbs up film.
Very good.
Thumbs up. Excellent.
Yes. Go and see Sharon in Love. It's a great film. You know, it's fairly formulaic. It's a romantic comedy. It tells a story of culture clashed love that we've heard 100 times before. I mean, this is a very a movie that follows a formula, in other words. But, you know, the good thing is it's too likable to be dismissed that easily. You know, we relish the opportunity to witness these stars finding and falling in love with each other, as well as a chance to spend some time with the supporting performances, performers, including Marshall Manesh. Again, he does a great job here. It does have a somewhat distracting tendency to jump around through the story. The writer-director cuts scenes a little too quickly and often without proper transitions. Just kind of a technical thing there, since I am a film columnist, sometimes a critic. But I'm giving Sharon in Love a thumbs up. Go and see it if you want a nice love story, especially a cultural type love story.
Will it inspire people who watch it to get out there and have their own love story?
Possibly.
It will.
Possibly, yeah. Not the strongest in that regard, but it is enjoyable. It's at least enjoyable.
Okay.
Yes. And but we did speak with actor Marshall Manesh on a previous show, and I brought in a quick clip from that show, you know, from our interview. I know we heard it on the air before, but just to refresh our memories, and since he is such a great guy, let's hear a little more from our interview with Marshall Manesh.
Rami Niami, who's the writer, director, and producer of the movie, sent me the script, and I read the script. It was totally different from the script that I usually get regarding the Iranian, Middle Eastern, that kind of stuff. So I liked this story, and I immediately said yes, and from there, you know, we started shooting the movie. It's a romantic comedy, you know, about a Iranian girl who's been born here, raised here, and she's supposed to marry an Iranian, you know, plastic surgeon, but she falls in love with another guy whose name is William, that's played by Riley Smith, and you know, the clash of cultural things. It shows the other side of the Iranian, that this media shows all this bad stuff. This is, hey, Iranian people are like normal people, the same family. They have, you know, their own problem. They fall in love. And believe it or not, they laugh. They have fun. They party. They have great food.
Yes, and you know, you get to see all that side of that, and so again, go check out Sharon in Love. It is a really good film.
I heard great food.
Yes, I did too.
What is that?
It's breakfast time.
I don't know. I don't think we've seen Eric eating yet so far.
Oh, I've been eating.
Oh, he's been eating.
Eric is always eating. He finds a way. I'm always looking back in there. What's Eric eating?
I've got breakfast burrito and sandwiches.
Oh, I'll give you $2.95 for the breakfast burrito.
Okay, because I think I paid $1 for it.
Okay. Do I hear more than $2.95? $2.95 going once, going twice.
You're
$3.95, $4.4. Okay.
You're bidding against yourself,
too. Oh, that doesn't work, does it?
Speaking of four, I want to remind our listeners that we have four passes to give away. This contest is not that does not have anything to do with KPHX. This is strictly through Breakthrough Entertainment.
Thank you.
And, you know, it's a phone number I'm going to give you to call. It's a different phone number than through the studio. This is Breakthrough Entertainment's contest line.
Shall I put this on our Facebook?
I'll say, yeah, if you'd like, or I can send you something later.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing planning right here live. Yes.
Well, the reason I'm mentioning it, this is the first I've heard of it. I heard it on the way over here a little. I didn't know if it was going on like right now or something.
Well,
this is
going to be going on for the next 3 weeks. We got four passes to give away, but the phone number, write it down, 206-309-9823. Again, that's 206-309-9823. It's a one-man show. It's called Shatner's World. It's all about William Shatner. It's in theaters for one night only, Thursday, April 24th. We've got some passes for the AMC Mesa Grand location, four passes to be exact, and all you have to do is call that number, leave your name and email address, spell it out if it's difficult at all, make sure that I can understand it, or, of course, you will not win.
If it's like De Agnenica.
Yeah, exactly. And
that again.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing because Shatner, he just turned 83 last week, week from today. It's just amazing. He still looks like he's in his 50s.
And he has all his own hair. It's awesome.
It's unbelievable.
But you know what? Then you'll get back to what they have to do to win. But since Greg pointed out William Shatner, 83.
I saw
Godfather 3, the last part of that last night, because I split it up in the different days. Eli Wallach. Still alive, 98.
Wow.
98.
They killed him in The Godfather 3.
Yeah, with eating the cannolis.
Yes.
Oh, but take the mattresses. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No, leave the gun, take the cannolis.
It's an old movie. I'm sure they've seen it.
But Eli Wallach, wow, 98 years old and still kicking. Guy.
And still making movies.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was in like some great movies.
He was in Bad and the Ugly.
The most recent Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, in 2010.
Impressive.
So. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. And
look at Betty White.
Yeah. Where?
Of course, she's not in 90s, but yeah, see?
Why did you say look at Lisa Burns?
I think she might be.
You keep saying her name wrong.
Let's try it. Dave says everyone's name
wrong. Oh, yeah.
Well, William Shatner.
Betty White is in the 90s.
She's 92.
Yeah,
92. Oh, she's 92 now?
Turned it in January.
Yeah, she's just phenomenal.
She is.
Yeah,
she really
great
is.
Genes. Great genes. And you know what? I think when you're living your passion, you're doing what you love.
They're Levi's.
She's good in a dress, too, though. Jeans, dresses, non-dresses.
There's three of us on the same line, though. But
get your mind out of the gutter.
Gutter? You talked Betty White.
Gutter about DNA and genes.
No, he was saying.
Oh, yeah, I was. She heard that. I didn't know she heard that.
She could see.
She heard it.
Hopefully, I don't look like Ron Jeremy in 30 years.
Wow. Okay, well, Shatner's World, again, in order to win one of the passes, you have to call 206-309-9823 and leave a message. This is strictly a Breakthrough Entertainment contest. You leave your name and email address, but what you're also going to do is recite your favorite movie quote or any poem or anything that you made up, whatever it is, but you have to say it like William Shatner.
Can they do a haiku?
Sure, of course.
Make a haiku about William Shatner.
Yeah, and say it like William Shatner.
There you go.
Your best impression of him. Most creative ones, ones that make us laugh, ones that make us cry, whatever.
Did I just put on my Michael Myers mask and breathe? Does that count?
No, we've had people do that before. Remember
really?
For our chainsaw contest?
Oh, okay.
That was scary.
Well, since that is William Shatner's face, that would be...
Okay, and apparently we're not going to have him on our Easter show, but we might play some of these winners on our
Easter
show.
That's not saying a bad thing. It really is his face. It's really a William Shatner mask that they painted over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
That is, yes. Oh. The director, John Carpenter, whoever, they went to a store out there in Hollywood or in the L.A. area, and there's a William Shatner mask in there.
Now, you mentioned John Carpenter. Is that where the song comes from, If I Were a Carpenter and You Were a Lady? No. Would you marry me anyway and have...
You're talking about Friday the 13th? Was that John Carpenter?
No. In Halloween, Michael Myers' mask is actually William Shatner's
mask. I remember hearing something
about
like that.
Yeah. Everyone ignored me on that one.
No. You
I
know
have
what?
No idea what you're talking about.
The Carpenter thing?
Yeah.
I didn't mention this.
And Karen?
No, I didn't mention this on the air a couple weeks ago. You know when I went to my Mardi Gras party? I was so
Party Gras.
Party Gras, yes. I was so happy because remember, like a month ago or 2 months ago, we sang the song about the hammer. If I had a hammer,
yeah.
Or not. We won't sing it again, but we sang it
Did
on the air.
Did you hammer someone, Joseph?
No. It was very quiet in the room because the music wasn't working or something. The woman whose party it was, she was a little bit upset because people were leaving, you know, stuff everywhere. So she shut the music off.
Well, that's how parties are, I guess.
So then I said, you know what? I just started singing the song. If I had a hammer,
did they
and
kick
I,
you out?
I started singing it, and the entire room started singing "If I Had a Hammer."
They had hammer your voice.
I felt so, and some of them were very drunk. I felt like so validated.
That's where it was.
Wow.
That, and then a few of the people said, "What was that?" And like they had no idea why they were singing.
Some people probably never even heard the song.
Right. Some of them didn't even
like
hear
I have
it.
No idea what. Yeah.
But it was. I just felt so validated that I was able. It was like the slow clap where you start, and then everyone claps.
The slow
so,
clap.
Yeah, the slow clap.
Have you seen not another
that's
teen
like a slow
movie?
Death.
Well, in 80s movies, you know,
I've
all the teens they start clapping and not another teen movie.
Yeah,
when that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr.
Yeah.
T.
It makes you feel good when you start something and then everyone else does it.
Yeah, I yes. think you can do that.
Yes,
you're a leader.
Thank you very much. You are too, Dave.
Aha.
Well,
but no one follows.
Yeah, see?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
We could do a rendition.
Oh, we already had our one singing thing.
Love between my brother and my sisters.
Well, all over this land.
Whoa, that didn't work.
Well, but that one felt really good at the party. So.
I think we need Maggie and Phineas.
Yes.
And Lisa. Don't forget Lisa, for God's sake.
Or we can bring back the Kinks to sing us another song about movies.
I love the Kinks.
Yes, they are going to sing us into the break singing Groovy Movies. You know this song.
No. How does this go?
You should.
How do you do it?
It goes just like this.
Oh, that goes like that. I don't hear Joseph singing. Okay.
Well, he already
he's dancing.
Had his pass.
No, I haven't had my pass.
No, that counted.
You are dancing on the table.
Yeah. No, we have the pass on that.
Oh, the pass. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And this is Breakthrough Whoa. Entertainment Live, 1480 AM K.
Making groovy movies.
HX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
I can see by your eyes, you must be lying. When you think I don't have a clue, baby, you're crazy.
Now, this is a song I do not recognize, Mr. Joseph Erdo.
This is one of my favorite Elton John songs.
Oh, it's Elton John?
That's what we just said before we went in.
I've seen that movie, too.
Unmistakably Elton John.
Yeah,
listen,
you're right.
There's
a few voices you could recognize, and Elton John, obviously.
Oh, I recognize the piano.
Yeah.
That's right.
That, too.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt, and the lovely Trisha. Oh, that sounds like a breath of fresh air.
And today is our Phoenix Film Festival special, isn't it, Dave?
It is indeed. I can't wait. Starting next Thursday, April 3rd to April 10th, we will be there, the whole crew, and come up to us and say hello.
Yeah, yeah, and come up to some of the actors and actresses and filmmakers
hello.
And say hello. You can do that. And one of them will be our next guest, Howard Goldberg. Again, I was one of the judges for the Phoenix Film Festival. I saw all 10 of the feature in competition films, and I picked my 4 favorite films from the Phoenix Film Festival.
Say that 55 fast times.
This is the cream of the competition crop. And right now, Howard Goldberg is going to tell us all about his film, Jake Squared, which is one of my 4 favorite films from the festival. Thank you so much for joining us, Howard.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad to be here. What do I have to do to get it to be number one?
Well, I'm not revealing that yet. But it's definitely in that top 4.
It could be.
It could be.
It could be.
How do you know that it isn't?
Take a look in that little envelope that I had put right in front of your...
I already took that. Joseph has no idea about the envelope.
Oh,
there was nothing in it, except I'll be in Hawaii next week.
Drat.
Well, you never know. It could be number one, and you know, it could wind up as the best of the festival. There's a lot of awards that are going to be given out, and hopefully one of them is given to your star, Elias Koteas. Let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film. Elias plays a filmmaker whose problems compound exponentially when younger versions of himself invade his life and try to solve his romantic problems. It's screening 1:10 p.m. Friday, April 4th, 4:55 p.m. Saturday, April 5th, and 9:55 a.m. Sunday, April 6th. So tell us a little bit about Jake Squared. Anything that I left out? Any general comments to start us off?
Oh, my God. Well, it's a mind-bending comedy about a guy whose problems increase Oh, wait, you already did that. Yes, it's a pretty surreal comedy. Elias plays himself at... he plays 5 different Eliases, and he does a bravura performance. He's unbelievable, as is the rest of the cast. You
asked
me a question.
Well, yeah.
Let me butt in little bit. You have a great cast, too. I mean, other than Elias, I mean, Jennifer Jason Leigh, you have Virginia Madsen, who I really, really like, and very fine acting in this film.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, when you drive a Rolls-Royce, it's not hard to understand why the Rolls-Royce drives nicely, and I had a Rolls-Royce cast.
You certainly did, yes.
Yeah, just, you know, fabulous actors. And
and Jane Seymour as well.
Jane Seymour, she was just extraordinary. And plus, not only were they all great, and Mike Vogel, who's the star of Under the Dome, he is he's terrific in this film. He's so funny.
So where did you get this idea from, the concept of this? It sounds very, very intriguing to me.
From the deepest, darkest recesses of a slightly twisted mind, I guess.
Oh, you know me, don't you?
Yes, we've met. We've met.
Your brother from another mother.
One of the things that I love about this film is that after any time I've ever had screenings, I have people come up to me afterwards, people who are in their 60s and 70s, people who are in their 40s, people in their 30s, even young guys and women in their 20s come over to me and they go, oh, my God, I'm Jake. I get it. I totally get it. And so in a way, I love that universal aspect of the frustration of the search for perfect love, that that everybody's doing it, even people in their 20s and even people in their 70s. Are all looking for that perfect love, unless, of course, they found it.
Yes, which we have. But we're working on Joseph to find his.
Well, that's what I was going to mention, that I definitely related to Jake. I think that I'm Jake, Howard. because, you know, it's just the running joke here on the show, my relationship, mostly problems, but with certain people. But, you know, I could definitely relate to Jake's situations with some of these women who are very difficult to deal with.
You know, I think that I just got a great idea for a marketing campaign. You know, it would be really terrific to have people, like I just said, in their 70s, 60s, 50s, all their men, women, all kinds of people, and everybody's going up, I'm Jake. I'm Jake.
A t-shirt called Jake. I'm Jake.
Yes. I'm Jake. And one guy gets up with a knife and he goes, I'm Spartacus. Oh, wrong movie.
That's great. And again, Elias does such a great job. I mean, as you said, he's not just one guy in this movie. He's got to play multiple parts. So first of all, I'm curious. I know a little bit about how this works, but how did you make it so that he was on the screen sometimes multiple times, like think four times?
Yeah, it's good to hire a schizophrenic.
It's a lot of careful planning. For, you know, I'll use the scene where they're all sitting around the dining room table, all the Jakes, and they're all in the same shot. That has to be shot split screen, so the screen is divided into three sections, and you have to shoot the film, shoot the scene first with Elias as Jake at 40 on the left-hand side of the screen, and me sitting in the middle playing him with a script in my hand, and then two other guys on the other side. Then you go back and you do it. Then Elias has to go completely changed, get into the next character. Then he's in the middle. I'm over on the other side and two other guys on the other side. And then he goes up and he changes into the next character, and he comes back down, and he's now on the right-hand side and is, you know, stand-in people in the middle and on the left. And then when it's all done, they all get put together.
Well, it was very seamless. I mean, I have to say, it just I could have swore that maybe Elias was quadruplets.
I know. It's an amazing... when we were shooting, the first time that we did one of those scenes, you know, because you don't know quite what it's going to look like. The concept is there, and you're hoping that it's going to be fabulous. So after we shot the first scene with two of the Eliases sitting around the piano, the DP came over to me afterwards, and he had his computer, and he goes, check it out. And he blended two of them together on his computer, and there they were, talking to each other. And it was just such a thrill. I got like a chill when I saw it. And I ran around showing everybody, look at this, wow. The hardest part about doing that concept is the eye line, because when you marry them together, it has to be believable that they're all talking to each other.
Yes. And, you know, and Elias does such a good job. Was that at all difficult? Did you hear anything from him? I'd love to ask him that question.
Oh, I'd love it if you could have. He was shy. I tried to get him on the phone. I don't do good on interviews.
Well, he does such a good job as an
great
actor.
Great actor.
Yeah, he's a brilliant actor, but he is an actor who prepares. He worked so hard on this part. It was magnificent, just magnificent to watch his process. You know, he ingests the character. He incorporates it into his life. He becomes those characters. And I think one of the finest things about his performance is if you look at these different Jakes that he plays, they're all obviously the same person, but they're all different. They all have a different, you know, a different flavor from a different time in his life. And you become so used to it, to them being different, that when they're sitting around that table all talking to each other, you're seeing these as three different people, even though your mind is saying, oh, but wait a minute, they're the same person. Wait a minute, they're not the same person. And, you know, that's a testament to his extraordinary acting ability.
Well, and the ability to morph back and forth to keep that entire character intact, where his physical appearance is only slightly changed, but the internal and the maturity level changes,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's why he's one of the best actors in the country, I think.
That was quite a daunting task that you took on.
Yeah, it was like trying to juggle seven balls, but you only know how to juggle three.
Well, you know, and technically, I would say it's the technical greatest achievement from the in competition films. I'll at least give you that much
hint.
Hint at my placement of this film of Jake Squared. So it's like the gravity of the in competition film.
Oh, thanks.
And another thing, I don't want to discount. We're talking a lot about the technical achievements, but the writing here. I love all of the little quotes that you have throughout the film. Each and every single one of them was so touching. I wanted to make sure that I could read each and every word of them, because I would love just a list of all of those. They're so insightful. Where did you find them all?
You know, I as the concept kind of organically grew larger and larger, and the first quote kind of popped into the piece, and then all of a sudden there was another. I've always collected quotes. I've always had, before computers, I used to have them up on my bulletin board, and I'd type them out and I'd put them up on the bulletin board. And in fact, one of the first ones that I ever collected was in the film, which was the Jean Cocteau one about bees in a glass hive. And so I just, you know, I'd collected hundreds and hundreds of them, and every once in a while I'd feel that this was a good spot for something, and I'd start looking through and looking through and looking through, and I go, well, maybe that, no. Oh, that one. Yes, this is perfect.
Yeah, and they're so introspective. I mean, as I was watching it, again, you know, our running joke about my own relationship issues, I was reflecting on the content of each of those quotes, and thinking about my own situation as Jake was going through his. So I think that has a lot to do with the relatability. I think that's what why everyone thinks they're Jake.
Yeah, well, that's I think that the condition, it's approached dramatically and comedically, but I think it's a real situation. I think that it's something that virtually every single person has dealt with.
Absolutely. And so, you know, ultimately, when people go see this film, Jake Squared, at the Phoenix Film Festival, and we hope that they will, because it's one of the four best films at the Phoenix Film Festival, the in competition features.
And maybe the best.
Maybe the best, yeah. We're not saying what's the best, what the placement is. But so what do you want them to feel? What message do you want to relay? Ultimately, if you could reduce this down to some quote, what would that be?
Wow. I feel better about myself.
Okay, very good. That is a very good message here, and I definitely took that away from it. And you will be out at the Phoenix Film Festival, right?
I'll be there.
Anyone else? Will Elias be there?
Elias is trying to get there. He's in Chicago. You know, he's got this new series, Chicago PD.
Yes.
And they just got renewed for a second year. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to swing it. I know he wants to. One of my producers will be there also, David Wilson, and I'll be there.
Okay. Well, we definitely hope that you will seek us out. We will be looking for you. Again, the movie is called Jake Squared. It is screening at the Phoenix Film Festival, 1:10 p.m. Friday, April 4th, 4:55 p.m. Saturday, April 5th, and 9:55 a.m. Sunday, April 6th. Definitely check it out. One of the best of the Phoenix Film Festival this year. And we are just so honored to have spoken with writer-director Howard Goldberg. Thank you so much, Howard. Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
We look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Well, now that the interview's over and it went so well, don't bother trying to cash those checks, because I'm going to stop payment on them.
Too late. Already. They're cashed and spent.
Oh, damn. I tried so hard.
Take care. Have a nice day.
Okay. So long, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Ciao.
Delightful individual.
Yeah. Very, very funny guy. And, that'll give you a sense of the sense of humor in Jake Squared. I definitely enjoyed that film.
Oh, that just sounds so creative, to have the split screen and have it meld so perfectly.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see it. I think that's exciting.
And I'm glad he mentioned that Elias was a little shy, because we were trying to get him on the show, and he says that he's
been in a million films.
I know. Yeah. I know. I really wanted him on, especially since he did such a great job in this film, but then he said that he declined, but because he was shy. He says he's...
Well, I think a lot of times when you have a really great character actor, mm-hmm. that... They feel like they need to be scripted to be at their best. And if they don't have a script and they don't know what character they're supposed to be, they're a little uncomfortable just being themselves in a public forum.
I completely get that. I am one character. Well, I get it. I'm one character on Breakthrough Entertainment, but in real life, I'm something completely different.
I thought I knew the real you.
You don't. You got to go to one of these bar crawls with me.
Joe's.
It's probably very, very dark and scary.
Only if I can take Liza.
He wears a trench coat.
Okay.
A trench coat.
Well, again, this is our Phoenix Film Festival special. We're going to talk more about the Phoenix Film Festival. We got one more of my favorite films to go. But in the meantime, let's hear a little bit from Gordon Lightfoot. If you could read my mind.
I can.
Love this song.
I bet you're going to play Gordon Lightfoot. I'm reading your
just
mind.
Like an old-time movie.
Yes. That is a good song, isn't it?
Oh, sorry.
I know this one.
This is one of my passes.
Can you sing like he can?
Fortress strong.
Well, he sounds like him.
Greg is grinding his teeth over there.
No, I'm not. I'm drinking my coffee.
Boom, boom.
And then I'm grinding my teeth.
I won't ever be set free as long as I'm a ghost that you can't see.
And that is 1480 AM KPHX Joseph Erdo, ladies and gentlemen of Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be right back. What a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the park.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.